Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of women. Come and follow me." And the way that you are living now, fishing for fish, I will transform, and you will fish for people. You will search out and speak the good news and be the witness that I call you to be. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. And since that time, we have all been given the duty and responsibility to reach out with the good news of the gospel, the good news of the love, the mercy, and the grace of Jesus Christ, the good news of the forgiveness and the transforming power of the real presence of Jesus. Since then, we have all been given the great commission to reach out with the good news, to reach out with a message, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, to reach out with the message, repent, for God will destroy this city. And unfortunately, like Jonah, most of us have gone a-running away from the message. Like Jonah, and unlike Peter, who faithfully got up and began to follow Jesus, most of us, when we hear the call, unfortunately, go, "Whoops, not for me," and go our own way. Now, let's put some flesh and blood on the story for Jonah for just a minute. I know I started in Mark and suddenly I'm back in Jonah. That's right, I did that, Jim. It would be as if Jonah's in Phoenix, gets the call to go to Nineveh, to New York, to preach the message. And instead of going to New York, he goes to Los Angeles and gets on a boat to go to Hawaii. He went the exact opposite direction. Instead of going to Nineveh when he got the message to go, what did he do? He got up and he went to Tarshish. He got on a ship at Joppa and he went out into the sea to Tarshish, trying to run away from God's call. Trying to run away. And as a result, we have one of the most amazing fish stories in the entire Bible. Except here, instead of the man catching the fish catches the man. When I was teaching in the School of Missions in Missouri East 3 years ago now, the study of the UMW at that time was on Jonah. And I was teaching there the course, and we had a great big play that we produced. All the teachers in the course, they were teaching all the various classes on Jonah and the other subjects that year, gathered together, and with the students, the children, the youth who were taking part in the studies too, we put on a big show, a play of this story. And we had a couple of the study leaders were the people in the boat, and one of the study leaders was Jonah, and one of the study leaders was God's voice speaking from above. And I, one of the principal study leaders on Jonah, got to be the fish. Unfortunately, they said whale. I resembled that remark. And so I was walking around on the stage looking for Jonah. And they threw him out of the boat. And the waves are rushing and raging. And he's sinking in the waves. And I come along and gobble him up. And I carry him around the stage while the narrator reads about the 3 days and the 3 nights in the belly of the fish, during which time Jonah prays to God And then at the end of that time, God remembers Jonah, and the fish barfs him up on the shore. It's a wonderful story. Wonderful thing to read about just before lunch. A fish story beyond compare. Jonah is running away from God's call. That's what he's doing. He's running away from God's call. The call comes, and what does he do? He doesn't even debate it. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish. It's over in Cyprus, friends. From the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord, as if it's possible to get away from the presence of the Lord. Duh. Trying to escape the presence of the Lord. It ain't going to work. Got a couple of points in today's message. I'm not just rambling along. I do have a couple of points today. Firstly, when we try to run away from God's will, God will intercept us. When we are trying to run away from God's will for us, from God's call for us, for God's commandment for us, when we are trying to run away from God's will, God will intercept us. God will intercept us. God intercepted Jonah. Run away, get on a boat, God sends a storm. Storm rages strong. The guys on the boat can't control it. They can't get back to shore. They throw everything overboard. Jonah's down in the hole sleeping. Trying to be avoided is what he's doing. Sleeping in the hole. During the middle of a storm, I'd be puking my guts out over the edge. He's sleeping out in the hole on the ship. They come down there and they say to him, "What are you doing down here? Why don't you pray to your God so that he will remember us and stop the storm from raging?" And they cast lots to find out whose fault it was, and it fell on Jonah. And they said, "What did you do that your God is doing this to us?" And he said, "I'm running away. My God is the God who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea." Well, what should we do? Throw me overboard, and the seas will be calm. They tried not to do that. They tried to row as hard as they could. They couldn't get back to shore. So they picked him up and they threw him overboard, and instantly the seas grew calm. Instantly, the storm stopped raging, and the seas grew calm. And what happened? All the people on board the ship, all these pagans who were worshiping all these other gods, all these pagans knelt down and worshiped the Lord God Yahweh. In other words, by running away from God's will, Jonah managed to witness to the power and majesty of God on high, so much so that these pagans recognized the power and majesty of God in causing the storm to rage on the sea, so much so that they worshiped him. Wow. Even by our own failing to do God's will, God will sometimes move into our sin and work a miracle so that others might know his power and will. Even by our own failures, God can have a victory. He's in the fish, not whale, fish. He's in the fish, 3 days and three nights, convinced in his prayers that he is going to die, convinced in his prayers that he is already dead. And God remembers him and spews him out onto the shore. And he gets up, wiping all the fish guts off. Have you ever cleaned a fish? That is the most disgusting process. We go out fishing. And we catch a bunch of fish, and first thing you have to do is take a picture of you and all the fish that you caught. Then you got to clean it. And that is the most disgusting thing, cleaning a fish. Well, imagine being in there for 3 days and three nights, wiping the guts off when he got spewed out on the shore, smelling up a storm. Woo! You got the picture. Good. I'm glad. Makes his way to Nineveh. A huge city, Most people don't recognize how big that city is. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. And Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk in and proclaiming, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Because of your evil, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, I ask you honestly, if we were to go out into this city, it's not a 3 days walk across, but, you know, maybe a day's walk across. Walk out into the middle of it and shout out, 40 days from now, God's going to destroy the city of Segalville. What do you think would happen? Huh? They'd laugh at us. Oh, yeah. The mayor might have us arrested. Sorry, Mr. Mayor. We might get in trouble. They'd probably come and take us to Terrell. That's what they do. They take us to Terrell. Not to First Church there, to that little place with the, you know, those nice padded wall rooms and the coats that you can put on. Yeah, little jackets. They would think we were nuts, right? Would they listen to us? No. They wouldn't listen to us. They would think we were crazy. Here Jonah comes to Nineveh, a city of great iniquity, a city of evil, a city made up of pagans worshiping other gods, a city that you would not expect to hear the message, a city that you would not expect to hear the message, to repent, for God's going to destroy the city in 40 days. And what do? They hear, and they repent. All right? They hear, and they repent. Poor old Jonah ran away. He's a man of God. He's a member of the Hebrew people, a son of Amittai, a man of God. And he runs away. These pagans, they hear one simple message that we would think is nuts, and they repent. So much so, the city people repented that the king was amazed, and he repented too, and ordered that everybody, including the animals, repent of their sinful ways. It's an amazing story, totally unexpected. And instead of being rejoicing over the fact that the city repented of their sin and God's going to have mercy on them, instead of rejoicing that the message was received positively and God's going to have mercy on them, what does Jonah do? He gets angry about it. He gets upset. He sets himself down on the hill outside the city to sit down, and he's just going to watch. Give me some popcorn and a six-pack, and I'm just going to watch as God blows the city to smithereens. Only they repented. Oh, no. I'm not going to get to see a fireworks show. Oh, no. I'm not going to see them get their pound of flesh. Well, they don't deserve mercy. In fact, he claims that's the reason why he ran away to begin with. That's what blows me away. Oh, Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He's mad because the people of Nineveh aren't getting blown away. He's mad because God is giving to Nineveh mercy and grace. He would rather die than see those filthy sinners in Nineveh get God's mercy and grace. Did he forget or something what happened to him as he ran away to Tarshish and got swallowed up by a fish? Is he forgetting the mercy and grace that God gave to him? Yes, he is. Did he deserve God's mercy and grace? Shake your heads no. Very good. No, he did not deserve God's mercy and grace to him. Neither do the people of Nineveh. The second point of today's message, first point was, when God calls you, don't run away. We do run away, friends, when God calls us. We don't want to do what God calls us to do. Not always. We frequently try to run away. That's point number one. Point number two is also like Jonah, when we see other people getting the grace that we don't deserve and yet have received, sometimes we get a little angry. Sometimes we get a little indignant. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve forgiveness. Those people, they haven't been a member of this church for 47 years. They haven't worked in this church. They haven't worked 14 barbecues, and they haven't done all the things that we have done. They don't deserve grace. They don't deserve mercy. They're new. They just got here. They don't deserve mercy and grace. They're sinners. Greg, I'm sorry, I know we're supposed to forgive them. I know God's mercy and grace is available to them, but their lifestyle just doesn't agree with what I think is right. Well, some of the things that we do don't agree with what God thinks is right either. Some of the things that we say doesn't agree with what God thinks is right either. Who are we to make that judgment? Jonah is us. We are Jonah. We go and we proclaim, sometimes reluctantly. We go and we proclaim, sometimes haltingly. We go and we proclaim, sometimes trying to run away. God redirects us. God intercepts us. We go and we do it. And then we get upset when we see God's mercy and grace given to others. We want to keep it for ourselves. We don't want to remember that we don't deserve it any more than the people of Nineveh, the people of Segoville, the people of Dallas, the people of New York and San Francisco and Los Angeles deserve it. We don't deserve it any more than they do. We have received it. We have repented. The fishes spewed us out too. And we have been given grace and mercy and a new lease and a new call in this life. How can we just want to sit back and watch the other sinners get blown up too? And yet we do. We get afraid of offering a word of grace to people who, frankly, just don't look and sound or smell just like us. We get a little bit afraid of giving the message of forgiveness and welcome and peace to people out there who are a little bit different from us. The calling is God's mercy and grace, God's message of repentance, and God's gift of forgiveness is offered to everyone. Not just people who look and sound and smell and probably taste like us, but to everyone. We ran away too, got swallowed by a fish, spewed out on the shore, and finally did God's will. We got forgiven for what, and we didn't deserve it. And we shouldn't be shocked or surprised when God extends His mercy to others. Others who, frankly, don't look or sound or act like we, frankly, think they should. Others who might be doing some things that we don't agree with. Well, I'm sorry, God's grace and God's mercy goes where God wants it to go. And if people repent, if people recognize their faults and turn away and seek to do the right thing in following God and God's call on them, who are we to say that God shouldn't extend mercy and grace to them? We didn't deserve it. They don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. Yet God extends it to all. Jonah's sitting there whining and complaining. I just knew you were going to forgive them. I didn't want to do it to begin with because of that. I wanted to see them get blown away. So he sits there whining and complaining, pouting under the shade of a bush. And the bush dies, and he gets upset about that too. God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" "Yes, angry enough to die," he says. Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? You're concerned about a bush that was covering you by shade and you didn't do nothing to grow it, but you're not concerned about that city? Shouldn't I be concerned about them? And if they have repented of their sin, if they are seeking to do the right thing, even though they're so ignorant, they don't know the right hand from the left hand, shouldn't I be concerned about them?" It's a rhetorical question, of course. The answer is yes. God's grace, God's mercy comes to all who seek to follow Him. God's mercy, God's grace comes to all. If God has called them to repent and they repent, don't be surprised if God's mercy and grace comes to them. My friends, we have a duty and a responsibility here in this city. It's not our job to take the gospel to New York. There are churches in New York to do that. We're part of a denomination that takes the gospel to New York. So we have a shared responsibility in that regard. But we have a principal responsibility right here in this city to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation, the good news of mercy and grace, the good news of forgiveness, the good news of the victory that we have in Jesus. We have a duty and a responsibility to take that message to these people that we'd see outside these doors. I think it's somewhat providential that today you can look out these windows and see the outside world and the cars that are coming by at 11:45 on Sunday morning and the people out in the world who aren't hearing the gospel today. It's somewhat providential that we have this opportunity to recognize that there's a world outside this church that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not need to be like Jonah, running away from proclaiming the message. We live in Nineveh, friends. We are called to proclaim the gospel to this Nineveh, to Segalville, to this city, to wherever we may happen to live. We are called to proclaim the gospel here and now, and to expect that the mercy and grace that we have received will be given to them too. My challenge to us this year is that we will do that. We will take this gospel message out these doors, out into the city, and proclaim it to everyone whom we meet. Be active of reaching out to everyone whom we meet. Somebody mentioned to me this morning, it's a shame that we have such a low attendance today. And yes, if I shot off a cannon in here, I'd hit more pew than person. My friends, most of the spots in these pews need to be filled by people who are out there who have not heard the message before, who have heard it and have rejected it again and again and again. God is calling us to go out there and proclaim the message and be a welcoming, forgiving people. How can we, like Jonah, run away and avoid it just because we're afraid that they might come? My challenge for us is that we need to be about reaching the unchurched, the lost for Jesus Christ. We need to be taking them the message, offering them a home, and welcoming them in. The barbecue, the auction, are wonderful ways of raising money and making wonderful food. But you know what? It's an even better tool for reaching out to people and letting them know that there's a house of faith here that wants them, because they need to be a part of us. They need to hear the gospel and be a part of the community of faith. I challenge you, my friends, this year to make this a church that reaches out to everyone in this community with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't run away like Jonah did. Instead, turn and proclaim the message. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.